You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Final thoughts here on this Tuesday. Don't forget, Dog Pound single game tickets are available straight from the source on ClevelandBrowns.com and the Browns mobile app. Secure tickets to the games against the Cardinals, the Ravens. That's Monday Night Football, the Bengals, and the Niners by visiting ClevelandBrowns.com or the Browns mobile app right now. 216-578-0850. That's the way to get on board with us. Let's go to Mark in Akron to kick off our final segment. Hey, Mark.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Well, not too bad. I don't normally call in to radio shows or nothing, but I had to call in on this. I've been watching the Browns in the NFL since 1950, and I think the Browns have one major problem, and somebody's going to have to realize it and going to have to admit it. It all goes back to ownership, because ever since this team has come back in 1999, with Al Lerner, then Randy Lerner, and now the Haslams, they have one continuous problem. All they do are hire first-time, learn-on-the-job people. You have a learn-on-the-job general manager. You have a learn-on-the-job head coach. You have learn-on-the-job coordinators. And then you get rookies in. Nobody there knows what they're doing. Why don't we already face the facts? And it's not going to change until they start hiring experienced people. They've had two experienced people here since 1999. North Turner and Kyle Shanahan. North Turner, they ran out of town. Kyle Shanahan, he got out of town on his own. That's where the problem is. None of these people know what they're doing.
All right. Thank you for the call. You know, a lot of people, everybody's a first time something until they're not. You had North Turner here. And yes, that was with the first-time coach, and then Ray Horton, who was a first-time coordinator. Yep. He was a coordinator already in Arizona.
Yes, he was.
So he wasn't a first-time coordinator. And that year, the Browns went 4-12. You had Kyle Shanahan, who had some experience last year, obviously. And then now you're at the point where you have a head coach in his second season, a first-time head coach in his second season, a first-time defensive coordinator in his second season, and a first-time offensive coordinator. And yeah, this is not a coaching staff that is rich with experience for the Cleveland Browns, but I don't know that that's necessarily the issue. You had, you know, Joe Banner had certainly been involved in personnel decisions for a long time. Mike Lombardi had been a GM in the National Football League beforehand. Do you want a retread? Did you want Ken Whisenhunt? That's not working out so well for Jacksonville. You know,
Tennessee.
For Tennessee, I'm sorry. Jacksonville got Gus Bradley, who's the first-time head coach. That's not working out well for them either, but It's a tough thing figuring this all out in the National Football League, figuring out exactly what the formula is. I think when you look at successful teams, regardless of who's in place, you don't even know who you're talking early. You know, the average person, I bet, doesn't know the GM of the Packers, the GM of the Steelers. They probably know Bill Belichick in New England, but and Ozzie Newsome in Baltimore. But the organizations that are perennially successful, they have a certain set of rules and guidelines that they follow and an overall strategic vision. The tough thing when you're turning it over and over and over, if you don't have that overarching strategic vision from the top, is that everybody comes in with their own strategic vision. These aren't my players. These aren't my guys. This isn't my scheme. This doesn't fit, blah, blah, blah. And you keep resetting it. So you need to have continuity. But I think the most important thing people miss when they want continuity, it's got to be the same coach. It's got to be the same GM. The continuity that you need to have is the same strategic vision and guiding principles for your organization that allow you to be successful, because it's putting you in the best possible chances to succeed. It's not saying who you have to pick, who you don't pick, what kind of decision, but people that you are going to go ahead and say to yourself, all right, this is how we're going to do business, and this is what we think is the smartest way to do business, and this is what we're going to do.
Right.
And that is the problem with all the turnover if you don't have that overarching philosophy.
And I think if you look at general managers, and you reference just some of the few that you talked about, Ted Thompson is the general manager in Green Bay. And the only reason I know that is because I played there. As you talked about with the Steelers, Ozzie Newsome as well. But I think an underlying story below who's making these decisions is them hitting on their picks. Because this is a player's game. You know, this is not a coach's game. This is not a general manager's game. This is not an owner's game. An owner can have the most money in the world. Look at Shad Khan in Jacksonville. All that money that he paid for the Jacksonville Jaguars. They've been renovating that team and that franchise for, what, 5 years now since he's been owning them. And it's still in jeopardy of moving across the pond to the UK, because it's unsalvageable. because they don't have the players. And look at the Jags, 1-5 this season. Were they not one, besides maybe the Miami Dolphins with signing Ndamukong Suh, were they not one of the teams that went out and spent the most money via free agency
of course,
to try to win now?
And they have had to go ahead and re-overhaul everything.
So when you look at the Ravens, and you look at the Steelers, and you look at the Patriots, and you look at the Packers, they are one of the, they're the franchises that are competing for Super Bowls every year, but they're also the same franchises that probably hit on 65% of their draft picks. 60% of their draft picks pan out to be just make the Packers. Those organizations give their guys a benefit of the doubt, too.
Absolutely.
Where can we hide you on our practice squad, on an IR, you know, not on a fluke injury, but on an injury, to the point where you grow in our system, and then you become our system. There's no turnover in those players. There's no turnover in regimes. There's no turnover in that system. So the guys have to relearn and forget, and then relearn and forget, and relearn and forget. And, you know, you can't pitch new start after new start after new start, because the word continuity comes after every new start, but that same regime doesn't get an opportunity to prove anything.
You're right, and you wanted the Ronnie Hillman, by the way, the down the field.
Yes.
2.5 yards.
2.5 yards.
Before he took contact.
Okay, and what were the Cleveland Browns?
Under, of course, under two.
Under two.
Yeah, just
how much
Robert
under two?
Isaiah Crowell, 11 carries, 32 yards, 14 after contact, so 18 on 11, so about a yard and a half.
Okay.
Robert Turbin, 23 yards on after contact. He averaged getting 0.4 yards down the field before taking contact.
So that's about a 0.9 average.
Duke Johnson, 9 for 38, 20 after contact, so that's 18, so exactly 2 for Duke. So just about
so about 1.4 yards.
Less than a yard and a half.
So yeah, about 1 yard less than the Denver Broncos did the entire day.
Yep.
The 32nd rushing attack in the National Football League, averaging 71 yards a game.
Yeah. Yes. All right, so that's it for that game, though. We're on to the Rams tomorrow. It's Mailbag Wednesday. We'll hear from the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine. A lot to get to on tomorrow's show. Stay tuned for the Golden Boys here on ESPN 850 WKNR. We'll also have the round table, or the triangle table, with Andrew Gribble when he gets in here tomorrow. So that's all coming up manana on CBD. For our producer, Dave DiNatale, for Matt Wilhelm, I am Nathan Zagura, saying thanks for listening to another edition of Cleveland Browns Daily,
driven by Liberty Ford.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.